Welcome back to one of my favorite sports podcasts, Frizz and the Grizz, with your host Trudeau and my guy, Keith Frizzy Frizz.
Welcome back to the Frizz and the Grizz podcast, endorsed by Snoop Doggy Dogg himself. It's your boy Trudeau. Thank you for joining us live March 12th. Or next day on podcast, wherever your podcasts. Remember, guys, help your boys out. Rate, subscribe, review, do all those fun things for us. Lots of stuff to get into today. Huge news in the NFL. Obviously, we have free agency. We have trades, all sorts of transactions. We'll get to that. We have some updates in basketball. Very fun versus five today. Bring it back to the good old days when you were a kid in the 90s. But first, D, what it do?
What a do, baby. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to those that are listening and watching. You definitely threw me a curveball. Wasn't expecting to hear Snoop, so I like it. Producer the Grizz over there. So that was cool. That was dope, man. Good little kickoff for the day.
Did you like the surprise of Snoop Doggy Dogg?
It caught me off. It's like I'll be playing like Call of Duty and like somebody has like the Snoop Dogg skin and like you can hear their voice. I'm like, what the hell? Like, it's a video game. You don't expect it. Same thing here where I'm just expecting the normal. Yeah, let's get it ready. You know, this is the New Grizz podcast and it's Snoop. So yeah, you caught me off guard.
Dog, technology's wild. That's all I'm going to say. Technology's wild. How was your week, buddy?
Week's been good, man. Week has been good. Definitely a relaxing weekend. It rained on Saturday and a little bit of Sunday, so we kind of just chilled. But big news for those that are living in the Carolinas. They got betting here now. They've kicked that off. Yeah, so legal sportsbook betting is here. I've seen so many commercials like in the last week, like on stuff that I wouldn't expect to see. Like I will watch like Hulu and like it'll be a commercial for it. And then she'll watch another app and there'll be a commercial for it.
Oh yeah.
Everything's streamed and it's just like live bet sporting is coming to North Carolina. And then yesterday it was just like all over the place. Like, why is this? I wake up this morning and it's like, oh, it's because it's here now.
Yeah, when that happened in Massachusetts, when we got live sports betting. Originally, the first month, I'd say, you just get inundated with DraftKings, FanDuel ads. Eventually, it goes away. We've had it here for a year now, and I don't see a single ad. The only time I see FanDuel is when you watch a basketball game. It's just pasted all over the court. But I'm sure you'll have fun with it, and now you can stop bitching at me for wasting all our money as a show. You can start wasting the money yourself.
I've already put it in on notice that there will be a little bit of bread here, a little bit of bread there. Not too much. I ain't going to go too crazy, but I'll throw some bets in, especially when it gets to football season.
For sure. And we're going to get into football in a little bit. I have a new segment. I don't want to make it a segment. It's just a new intro thing. So we're going to do our little what up, how you doing? And then we have our quick hit segment. And it's basically kind of a recap from the week because a lot happens. It's a weekly show. Mm-hmm. We are very focused on segments and big picture things. We don't get to touch on each individual storyline from the week. So this is an opportunity for us as a show to kind of highlight some of the things that we've missed over the past week. And we can maybe discuss anything that's of interest. Hopefully I don't fuck this up. I'm trying to do like a news anchor, so we'll see how this goes. Are you ready?
Let's get it.
Let's catch up on some of the sports headlines from the week. It's time for Quick Hits with my boy Trudeau.
All right, a big week in NBA for injuries, unfortunately. Karl Anthony Towns, torn meniscus, done for the season. Tyrese Maxey out with a concussion, back today though, which is nice. Steph Curry, without him, the Warriors are floundering. Bad ankle injury, hoping to be back on Saturday. Benedict Mathurin for the Indiana Pacers, a really key role player, six-man candidate. Out for the season, shoulder injury. Donovan Mitchell still out with a PRP, injections in his knees, timetable unknown. And of course, our yearly occurrence, Ben Simmons, out again. Nuggets beat the Celtics in a highly anticipated matchup. Tatum flops. Misses a big three to end the game. 15 points. What a bummer. We saw one of the lowest scoring games in 8 years this week as the Knicks lose to the 76ers. 79-73. Yeah, that's a college score. I cannot believe it. Luka Doncic going bananas. Sets the records for a consecutive 30-point triple-doubles with six in a row. He notched a seventh triple-double last night. Rudy Gobert doing Rudy Gobert things, claiming that the NBA is fixed. Given the money, the Johnny Manziel symbol to the referees, fined $100,000. U.S. women's soccer team won the Gold Cup. Congrats, ladies. They beat Brazil 1-0 in the final, and a kerfuffle between South Carolina and LSU in the SEC championship game. Look at that timing on that.
Good stuff. How'd you you put this together by yourself? You use the old, you know, Google Chat GPT.
I just have notes on my thing, and I just kind of went through it. I like it. I swear to God, if I had to read a teleprompter, I would be a complete disaster. I can't read, so I just have bullet points and just took notes throughout the week. So any of those, you know, storylines that we're not going to touch on today interest you?
I mean, I think you hit on a lot of good points. Out of those that were in there, I think it would be good to talk about, you know, the little kerfluffle like you were mentioning between LSU and South Carolina, just because those are two, like, I would say, dominant teams in women's college basketball. Did you see it actually happen, or did you watch any of the recaps for it?
I watched the recap. I will say this. I'm cool with being physical in basketball, men's or women's game. You cross the line when you pull the hair. That's like, I was trying to think of an analogy this morning for the hair pull for a man. Because, like, obviously most men, you mean, you have longer hair, but I don't. Like, the hair pull is not a thing for men. For me, for a man, the hair pull would be like equivalent of if a man threw a drink at me. It's just like you have to fight at that. Like you have to fight. There's no going back. So for a woman, you pull someone else's hair, like there's nowhere else to go but fighting.
I feel if you're going to go that route, though, that's involving another object. So I wouldn't even say that, because obviously anybody gets a drink thrown at them, they're going to, you know, want to throw hands. I would say it's more equivalent for an actual male when somebody mushes you in the face. Like
that's a good one.
Like not because you're not punching them, right? Like that's straight physicalness, but like when somebody, like you're in somebody's face and they just mush you out the way, like stiff arm, I feel like that's equivalent to when a female grabs another female's hair.
Yeah, no, you get that's mushed,
automatically gonna cause like a fight.
You gotta swing. And yeah, you know, that was a crazy game because South Carolina was undefeated to that point. They ended by pulling it out. Great game. But I think there was a player to seal the game for South Carolina who hadn't hit a three-pointer all year. Dagger three to put the game away. Players ejected left and right. Did you hear what Kim Mulkey, the coach of South Carolina or LSU, had to say after the game? Because I have the sound right here.
Yeah, if you want to play it, I know exactly what it is, but yeah, definitely play it.
It's ugly. It's not good. No one wants to be a part of that. No one wants to see that ugliness. But I can tell you this. I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese.
I like the contrasting opinions of the coaches. I apologize for not knowing the name of the South Carolina head coach. He's obviously a phenomenal coach. She took the approach of like, hey, this is not appropriate in any situation. We need to handle ourselves like professionals. And Kim Mulkey's like, hey, why don't you try Angel Reese, see what happens? Like, goddamn, man.
I like, to a point, I get what she's saying, but just read the room. Right. And Dawn Staley is the head coach for South Carolina.
Thank you.
The way that she went about it was completely different, where she was just like, I had seniors last year that I don't have this year that were able to get us away from situations like this. My team this year is a lot younger. You know, I won't say that they're I won't say that they're not mature, but you had different leaders than we did last year where this type of thing wouldn't have happened. So like that's on me as a coach. And like that's one, taking accountability and responsibility for the actions of their team. And then the other one that's like stoking the fire, where like, I don't know if you saw, like Angel Reese tweaked her ankle or she got injured right before it happened. And like when the bench is cleared, she walked the other way and like went to sit on the bench. And like, it's like both sides where it's like one person's like, oh, Angel Reese, you ain't there like swinging with your team. But then if she does go out there and swing with her team, it's why are you being a thug? You know what I mean? It's like you can't win. So when your coach involves you with something that you literally don't need to be involved with, like, I wish you would go and swing on Angel Reese. And Angel's like, yo, like, I'm just chilling. Like, you don't got to put me in this. Just say, like, you pick on somebody your own size. Like, say something like that. But when you bring up a player, I'm just like she was. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I got a bigger name. I'm trying to get my name into a positive light. And now you're putting me into this situation about fighting.
I do have a clarification. So we thought originally that all the girls ejected from the game would be suspended for the first half. They're not.
They changed that.
Yeah.
They changed that on the fly. And you want to know why? Because of money. 100%. Because if that happens in any college sport, even when we were playing, if you got ejected in the second half, you were suspended for the first half of the next game. That's in college football. That's in college basketball. But they were like, South Carolina's the number one team in the country. oh, we're just going to suspend the girl that threw the punch, but not the people that jumped off the bench, because that is not a rule. That's not a thing. It is like an automatic suspension for anybody that leaves the bench.
Well, speaking of money, I did want to talk about my interesting point from the quick hits from the weekend, mm-hmm. is the Rudy Gobert thing. Because, yeah, he flashed the money sign to Scott Foster, who is infamously... I don't want linked in a way to the Tim Donaghy thing. He was never found guilty of anything, but they had a tight relationship at that time. And I just wanted to bring up that, first of all, do we all remember that Rudy Gobert was the dumbass who coughed all over the mics and got the NBA shut down? We remember that, right?
So why that was actually relatively
4 years ago.
Lee, what's that?
It's a 4 year anniversary recently.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it just happened 4 years ago when he shut down the league.
So my biggest problem is there's always people out there who just thinks everything's fixed and rigged, and especially the age of, you know, you now have FanDuel and DraftKings North Carolina. So there are plenty of people losing their money right now in North Carolina. They're going to say this is rigged, that is rigged, blah, 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 blah. And we're really going to make Rudy Gobert the champion of this issue. Like, everyone who thinks Rudy Gobert is a fucking dumbass is now like, no, Rudy's right on this one. Yeah, Rudy's got it right. There is zero incentive for the league to be fixing games, because if it was ever the case and that was found out, you would lose every franchise's values, multiple billions of dollars. That money's going down the tubes because people will not watch it.
Yeah, people don't think about that stuff. They'd rather say, oh, it's fixed so that this team can win and this player can score, but not think about the billions of dollars that are involved with if that ever leaked out, that it was like an actual like fixing of games.
Yeah. And, you know, people were also complaining that the $100,000 is a huge fine because, you know, we had Draymond Green choke Rudy Gobert out earlier in the season, got $25,000. $100,000 is four times that. This isn't actually the first time that Rudy's done this, with complaining about referees fixing games. This is a multiple thing with Rudy. And listen, I understand them bringing the hammer down because number one priority for the league is to protect league integrity. And if you have a player like Rudy who thinks COVID is fake, spreading this nonsense about, you know, games being fixed, it's a bad look on the league. They cannot have that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert just doing Rudy Gobert things. Gotta love it. So that was a fun little recap. I like the whole idea of recapping the week. But let's get into the meat of the show. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL player movement. That includes trades and free agent signings from the past week. D, I'll let you kind of take us where you want to go with this one, because you are the NFL guru here.
Sure. We'll start with the sexy picks, because this is essentially a quarterback-driven league. And I'll start with your team down in Tampa. Big move for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll go over the quarterbacks first. Baker Mayfield signing for 3 years, 100 mil, I believe.
Yeah, it's 3 years, 100 mil. It can get up to 115 with incentives. I did hear something that only 50 million of it is actually guaranteed. I don't think the third year is guaranteed. So it's one of those Derek Carr sorts of deals where you can cut him at the last year.
Yeah, smart move on my end. I would say you get your quarterback that, you know, the window is open. Like I think I mentioned it to you, I don't believe the Buccaneers are a Super Bowl contending team, but you win your division and you get a chance. And with the re-signing of Baker, the defense that we know is pretty good, obviously. They locked down Mike Evans for his career. Like, he's not going anywhere, which is really good. You got a couple of guys that are coming back from injury. I think that team is going to make a push or a run for being not a, you know, contender, but a sleeper in the NFC for next year. So good signing for the Bucs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love it. I don't hate it. I think it's a good move, because I'm one of the opinion that loyalty is important, first of all. And secondly, like, you're not giving him 4 years and 100 guaranteed. It's a contract where you'll ride it out for a year or two, see where it takes you. If it doesn't work out, you can start over. What are their options realistically this year if they didn't re-sign Baker? They could try to retread with another reclamation project, maybe get like a Sam Darnold, someone cheap that maybe you think you can reclaim from the ashes. You're not drafting high enough in the draft to get anyone of consequence, so why not at least run it back this year? And if it goes poorly next year or this year, and you end up with a top 7-10 pick, maybe you can then draft your replacement quarterback there. I don't think it's a bad move, especially with some of the guys like Mike Evans where you can compete. The one thing as a Bucs fan that I'm worried about, though, is we know Baker's had a checkered history. Ever since he's left Cleveland, it's been up and down. And I'm going to blank on the name. Maybe you can look it up for me. The Carolina Panthers just hired the Bucs offensive coordinator from last year. And my concern is that you're going to get a new coordinator, potentially a new system. How is that going to affect Baker? Because it seems like whatever they're doing last year was perfect for him. And if you're going to change all these things up and pay this man all this money, you're ripping out the supporting cast as far as the system. Is he going to be the same guy that you saw last year? You have the name for me?
Brad Itzak. That's a tough one to pronounce.
Are you sure that's the dude?
It says the Panthers offensive coordinator hiring Brad Itzak as their...
Oh, it's their head coach.
Oh, you that's their head coach?
No, their new head coach is it's Dave Canales.
Yeah, that's their head coach.
Yeah, that's who they just hired from the Bucs. He was the offensive
coordinator. Oh, gotcha, gotcha. I thought you meant they changed offensive coordinators. My apologies. Yep.
No, yeah, the Bucs OC got taken as the Panthers head coach. So we'll see. You know, I don't hate it. It keeps them competitive, and the division, like you said, is pretty weak.
At the end of the day, that's probably the best move is to have a quarterback, because in a weak division, it definitely got stronger. Probably the biggest signing of the offseason so far, and that's Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta, another NFC South move in which that team just got exponentially better.
Yeah.
And I know that Kirk's coming off of an injury. Obviously, the Achilles is not easy. He's not a mobile quarterback, so I feel as though as long as he can move side to side, he'll be straight. But those offensive weapons that he has is incredible. He's going to have Drake London on the outside. He's going to have Kyle Pitts, which we've seen TJ Hawkinson thrive, you know, in a Kirk Cousins offensive system. And he's a pretty good tight end. Obviously, he's doing his work in Detroit now. But, Hawkinson was a big name when he was in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins. And same thing with Drake London being on the outside. You got Bijan Robinson, who is a dual threat running back. Like, he's in between the tackles, outside, and a pass catcher, right? Like a Dalvin Cook-ish. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook are, like, at the top level of running back wide receiver combo. And, you know, Drake and Robinson are here, but these guys are young, right? And not to say Justin Jefferson isn't young, but like you have now a quarterback that can help get the, I would say, potential out of these three players. So I think it's a really good signing for Atlanta. Sucks being a Saints fan and seeing this shit happen, but it's a really good signing for me.
Yeah, I don't know what the contract numbers is in Kirk Cousins, but it does remind me of a lot of the Vikings, where we all know Kirk Cousins is the Kirk Cousins tier quarterback. He's the ultimate Kirk Cousins tier quarterback. And if you don't know what it means, look it up. But he does thrive when he has skills or skill position players around him. And, you know, the Falcons, as far as their makeup, does remind me a lot of the Vikings. Like, just good wide receivers, good running backs, good tight ends. And those Vikings teams with Kirk Cousins were consistently 10 wins, sometimes 11 wins. And that's easily good enough to win the NFC South.
Yeah, with the unfortunately bottom feeders such as the Carolina Panthers, who really can't, you know, get away from themselves. Although they just traded for a wide receiver, I believe. But still, they're in a spot where I won't say it's win now, but they can take the division out, as though we were just talking about the Bucs going hand in hand. I feel as though that the edge goes to the Bucs because of experience. But the talent of Atlanta, we've been saying it, they're a quarterback away, and they got the quarterback. So, like, this, you could see a substantial run. Although they did lose a corner, which was alongside, I think it was not AJ Terrell, but there was another corner that they had that was actually really good too. They just lost Jeff Okuda, in which, you know, that makes the defense a little bit worse, but they have a really good offense.
But with the Falcons, right? Now, we are saying they compete for this division, but does this move really do anything for them in the big picture of things? Like, are they actually seriously a contender in any fashion?
Not Super Bowl contender, because we know, like we were just like you were just saying, we know Kirk Cousins' ceiling. Kirk Cousins is incredible in the regular season. He will get you 10, 12 wins. He'll throw for 3,500, maybe 4,000, 35 touchdowns, 10, 15 picks, right? He's going to take care of the ball. He's going to get numbers. It's when he gets to the postseason. And you really can't judge anything until it gets to the playoffs for Kirk Cousins. So you're not going to know if this is a good move literally for another 8 months.
Did you say the numbers? 4 years, 180?
No, I didn't, but you just did.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't want to repeat you. If I did, I apologize. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to... I'm sure Falcons fans are happy today, right? Especially for a franchise that's been pretty sad since their Super Bowl run. But if your big picture is Super Bowl, I think you're fooling yourself, because Kirk Cousins isn't that guy. They're going to have some fun seasons, though. It's going to be fun. It's going to look a lot better than it has been. It's not going to be a joke and a laughing stock. I think now the Falcons are what we thought the Saints would be last year. Like a good, solid team who could win the division, give a really tough fight in the first round, and maybe the ceiling of the Saints last year and the Falcons this year, I believe, is like the absolute pinnacle ceilings make into a championship game. But I don't think they get any further under any circumstances.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you win your division, it's just how it is in football. You host a home football game, which anything can happen. Like, we've seen teams that had a better record than the home team, but lose because the home field advantage. Like, that's huge just for being a division winner. So, not to say that they're, again, a Super Bowl contender, but I think it makes them a stronger team in the NFC because of it.
Can I ask you a hypothetical?
Yeah.
All right, so would you rather have Kirk Cousins 4 years, $180 million at his age and his injury, or would you rather trade away your second in fifth round pick this year, get Justin Fields, re-sign him for 3 years, $110 million.
Kirk Cousins.
Really?
Just because he's a finished product. Not that I love Justin Fields and what he can potentially spark to be, but I know what Kirk Cousins is, and maybe just a little tweak here and there, team, I would say, movement-wise, get some more defenders for him because he's going to put up some numbers. Get some more defenders to try to help mitigate his playoff like failures. That's a little bit easier than hoping Justin Fields can become a superstar.
See, I actually would go the opposite way on that. I would rather have the unknown product in Justin Fields, where I think maybe if all things go right, I can maybe get through that ceiling and go even higher than Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk's 35 years old. You're signing him until he's 39. And we already said back and forth to each other, like, we don't think they're a serious Super Bowl contender. So you're signing up for 4 years of being okay versus maybe roll the dice on Fields. And if it doesn't work out, great, we just move on. But if it works out, then hey, we got a young quarterback who we can compete with for, you know, 5-10 years.
Nothing wrong with that. I would look at the draft capital for 2 and a 5. That's a lot to give up for Justin Fields. Where I mean, if you give up maybe a 2, sure, maybe a 3 and a 6, but a second and a fifth rounder, like, those are still, second round is a starter essentially. Fifth rounder is your sub linebacker, slot wide receiver, and like those are key positions that you do need deep into a draft.
Well, talking about compensation and picks and all that stuff and giving things up, we had Russell Wilson on the Broncos. They gave up everything for him, contract, picks. He's now a Steeler, and they are getting him for basically nothing. I think his contract, it says like a little over $300,000, and then the rest of the money is going to be coming from the Broncos. I think it's a phenomenal move by the Steelers. It can't get any worse than it was last year. I know Russell Wilson's pretty cooked, right? It's not the let Russ cook, it's Russ is cooked at this point. But he's a mature quarterback who became the ultimate game manager last year. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. He had a good touchdown interception ratio. Wasn't a phenomenal player, right? He's not going to be a game breaker for you, but he can manage the hell out of an offense. And with the Steelers defense and what they want to do on the ground, I think it's a perfect fit. And again, like, at that price tag, that's the best value you're going to get at the quarterback position.
Price and name. They got both of them. They got them for the cheap, and they got a name that's going to have to go up against Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. Like, that, you are not going to win the division or even compete for the division rolling out Kenny Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky. It's just not going to happen, right? So, and like you said, yes, Russ might be over the hill, but they may not need for him to throw for 5,050 touchdowns like he's in Seattle. but they will need for him to convert third downs, something Kenny Pickett couldn't do. They will need for them to score touchdowns versus kick field goals, something Mitchell Trubisky couldn't do, right? You turn the ball over. So it's those games where we know Pittsburgh's always going to roll out an incredible defense. They just always do. They find ways of finding just defensive dogs. And then they get athletic players on the offense outside of Najee Harris, who actually had a good year last year. I think a lot of people shit on him because he's slow. But, like, he still finished the season. I'll get the exact stats. So I'm pretty sure he finished the season, like, over 1,000 yards rushing and double-digit touchdowns. Yeah, 1,000 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns. That's not bad. It's not great, right? He's not phenomenal top 10 running back. But, like, that's still serviceable for how bad the Steelers' offense was. You insert a Russell Wilson who doesn't turn the ball over, no matter what part of the career he's in. He takes care of the ball. He might not take the risks that he does, that he used to, let the ball fly when he had, you know, Lockett in his heyday, or a few other wide receivers I can't name that are retired now. But, like, he could get the ball to his receivers without turning it over, and that's huge for Steelers football.
You know,
dare I say,
is it possible in your wildest imagination that this Steelers team can look something like the Broncos team that had Peyton Manning with a busted ass neck, who was awful, absolutely awful, that won a Super Bowl? Because that was a situation where they had a phenomenal defense, and we know Mike Tomlin can make magic happen. They had a phenomenal defense back in the Broncos, and Peyton Manning just noodle-armed his way to a Super Bowl victory. Like, is it possible at all for Russell Wilson to do something like this with the Steelers team?
I can't argue against it. I don't think he's as cooked as Peyton Manning was that part of his career. That neck injury was no joke for him. But, and they even put in Brock Osweiler in the middle of that season.
Who was so bad.
He came in and helped them out. But I would see it as, he could be the guy that helps them win games that they couldn't win last year, and they were 9-8. So think about that, right? Like, that is, if they finish 9-8 and they got a quarterback that can get squeeze out 2 or 3 wins, you're looking at an 11-12 win team. That's serviceable. And no matter how you slice it, you don't want to play the Steelers in the playoffs. That is a team that, like, we joke around with the Jimmy Butler and the Heat for the NBA, the old school Ravens, you know, Joe Flacco Ravens in the early and late 2000s. Good shit. You don't want to play the Steelers in the playoffs. Nobody wants to go to Heinz Field in January. It sucks.
And I will say this, and I'm not hyping up that Russell Wilson's going to be great by any stretch of the imagination. When the Steelers, I don't know, was it like 4 or 5 years ago, Ben Roethlisberger led Steelers. They were the one seed. And Ben Roethlisberger was trash that year too. Mm-hmm. Tomlin just has a way of squeezing out wins, and just having okay-ish quarterback play can go a long way for the Steelers. So I think it's a phenomenal ad for the Steelers. Sucks to be a Broncos fan today, because I don't know what your future looks like. You don't have a quarterback prospect. You still owe picks, and that cap hit is brutal. The only other quarterback thing I'm interested in, and it's not so much like it's an interesting signing, I think it brings up an interesting conversation, is the New England Patriots today signing Jacoby Brissett, 1 year, $8 million. And you and me were talking pre-show, and I know we have a lot of Patriots fans that listen and watch the show. With the Patriots, do we feel like the Brissett signing makes it more or less likely that they'll draft a quarterback at number 3?
I am 100% like on this side of the fence when I say this. I don't think it did either. Like, I don't think it got them closer to drafting a quarterback, and I also don't think it got them closer to not drafting a quarterback. I think they're keeping this to the chest, but they have, you look at it and you're just like, there's so many holes that you said this pre-show. There's so many holes that they have as a team. Do you get your guy and then try to fill in pieces around him? Or do you trade out of that, get more picks? Jacoby Brissett is your starter. Maybe find a day 2 quarterback and it becomes a project. and then hope he pans out. I honestly have no idea. I think that people will say, well, he's just there so he can help the other guy. Not necessarily. Like, the Patriots haven't been known to just have a quarterback that just wants to help the next guy in. Like, Bledsoe didn't want to help Brady. Brady didn't want to help somebody, you know, whether it was Garoppolo or anybody else. It just doesn't happen. But because of this signing with a quarterback who's not bad, Jacoby Brissett played pretty well. I honestly don't think this changed anything with my thought of like, oh, yeah, they're definitely going quarterback, or, oh, no, they're not going quarterback. They're going to trade.
I think personally this makes the Patriots more likely to draft a quarterback in Jaden Daniels in number three. I think Jacoby Brissett.
Drake May. Jaden Daniels ain't going to last number three. Get out of here.
I've seen many mock drafts with Jaden Daniels, the Patriots. And my thing is, like, Jacoby Brissett, I think he can still play. He's a very good quarterback. You know, not top tier, but he's a solid quarterback, and he's been around the league a long time at this point. He's sat on the bench behind guys being the backup for a couple of years now. To me, Brissett is the perfect mentor type guy, where you get a young quarterback in, have Brissett in the room with him. Maybe you start Brissett for the first three or four games, ease the young guy into the game, and there's an understanding when Brissett comes, like, hey, we want you to start the season as our starter, but we're going to draft a guy. I want you to have him prepared for week five. Like, you are the uncle now in the room, and you're going to have to be the mentor type guy. I think it makes it more likely. It makes me feel like it's going to be Jaden Daniels at number three. But I also don't blame the Patriots if they want to trade back, because, again, there's so many holes that they have to fill. But the one thing to say about that on the flip side, you don't get many opportunities to draft this high. The Patriots were awful last year. They were only one or two losses away from being the sixth or seventh pick and being able to draft no quarterback. So when you have a bite at the apple, you have to take it.
That's a cool little analogy you just used right there. Yeah, like I want them to go quarterback because I think that helps reset your franchise. You know, it gives Jerod Mayo as the head coach there, right?
Yep.
It gives him his guy for the 4 or 5 years that you typically try to give a head coach, obviously, for it to work out. But if they don't go quarterback, you're searching for it next year. And there's just, from what I'm seeing, maybe Shedeur Sanders, but like, there's really no bigger names like there were this year for quarterbacks that are coming out. You have some tail end quarterbacks that are decent, but like not showstoppers, and we're not going to be able to project that until the college football season starts.
Yeah, and also, I don't know. I was trying to get the banner up. I was going to transition to they've had failures at quarterback before with Mac Jones. Just want to say, good luck in Jacksonville, Mac Jones. I'm sure there's many sad Patriots fans out there today who saw Pro Bowler Mac Jones go away, and their previous dreams of him being their franchise quarterback for many years is gone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to gloat and say I told you so, but I'm going to take this fucking time to say I fucking told you so. Like, for anybody that thought Mac was the guy, like, I'm not going to say, like, I wish I could throw, you know, egg at your face or, you know, tomatoes at you like you're on stage at a comedy club. But, like, the writing was there just from what he was doing at Bama to be like, oh, he's, like, the worst out of these quarterbacks that just keep coming out from Alabama. He just happened to have an incredible team around him. He had a great first – no, good. I won't even say great. He had a good first season the year that he made the fucking Pro Bowl, and I can't believe that you still talk about that. And then he regressed literally every single year after. And, you know, I know the Patriots don't do a really good job of, like, finding drafted talent. This is one that is going to sit on Robert Kraft for a very long time, that you missed on this quarterback. And now with the number three pick in this draft, you have to hit. Because if you don't, a lot of that legacy that you had bringing in is going to be catered more towards what Brady was able to do for your organization versus what Bill and what Robert Kraft were able to do. Because it's just becoming worse and worse the farther along that this team gets worse, I would say, as Brady is gone.
Do you want to get into the fun part of this show? Talk about all the running back movement, because
Yes, sir.
This is like a record to me. I don't know what the actual record is, but this for a single position group. This is like the record amount of movement from team to team. I'm seeing guys get picked up from one team, cutting their running back. Their running back goes to another team. You know, I was telling you offline in a text stream, I just think it's the nature of the running back position. You know, we view these guys as so disposable that no one wants to re-sign their guy. They'd rather get someone else and bring them in. And the funny thing about that is I feel like there are teams dropping their own guy and bringing someone in for either more money than they would re-sign or the same. No loyalty at the running back position. Tell me which running back move the needle for you.
Hands down, just because it's the most recent, I think Henry going to Baltimore. I think that changes the game for how you can play against Lamar Jackson in the red zone. Less likely for you to just you have to figure out what you want to do. Do you load the box and try to stop a two-headed monster between Henry and Lamar Jackson? Or do you allow it to be single coverage on the outside with Zay Flowers? And they'll most likely pick up another wide receiver. Beckham's, you know, on the tail end of his career. But Mark Andrews is coming back. That's a scary lineup right there. That's a video game type of backfield where you have two, one fast and one brute. And it's like, pick your poison. I'm not thinking that they're going to run the read option. They're just going to line up an eye and run it down your throat. So out of all of the movement when it comes to running back, I think Henry going to Baltimore is huge, especially in that division.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the list now. I feel like that one probably moves the needle for me the most as well. I agree with that. I mean, they go from having J.K. Dobbins, who was perennially hurt, and Gus Edwards, who probably took the most carries, to now Derrick Henry. And to me, you know, what Gus Edwards was is a plodding power back. And now you're upgrading from one plodding power back to, like, the ultimate plodding power back. The one thing I do question is, like, you're losing a little bit pass catching out of the backfield. He's not known as a pass catcher, but I'm sure they'll be fine in that fast of the game. And the contract's pretty good. I have the number in front of me right here. I think it's 2 years. Let's see. 2 years, $16 million. You know, that's not too bad. The one that I didn't get, and I think we're going to disagree a lot on this one, I was not super high on the Saquon Barkley signing by the Philadelphia Eagles. 3 years, $37.75 million contract. D, you said you were pro this move. You sell me on why it's a good move for the Eagles.
A, it's just a bit over the tag if you were to tag him for 3 years, which was what New York did for 1 year when he was trying to just ask for 14. Give me 14 and I'll be happy. And he didn't get 14 in Philly. He got 12 and a half, right? The 12 and a half with like some incentives that averages it out to that 37 for 3 years. So they got him for cheaper than what he was asking for. They got a younger, more explosive running back than anything that they've had. They had DeAndre Swift, obviously, in the past, but they also had, you know, Chris Gainwell that helped them in their Super Bowl run a couple of years ago. And you have a multifaceted pass catching and in between outside the tackles running back to help Jalen Hurts. You continue with the AJ Brown on the outside. If they, I can't remember who their secondary wide receiver is, but you have tools that will allow Jalen Hurts to get back to just running the ball, not being a running back, but running the ball between the tackles, which is going to help them with explosiveness on the outside. We know they lost an offensive lineman, obviously, in Jason Kelce, but I'm sure they'll find one there. As long as Nick Sirianni can use the explosiveness of Saquon, who had a great season last year on a shitty team, I think this is an incredible signing for them, even based off of money, not even just the value they get from him.
I think you were looking for Devonta Smith there for the other wide receiver. I'm less bullish on this move by the Eagles for this reason. One of their strengths last year was their run game. Like DeAndre Swift was very good for them. They had other guys like Gainwell, Boston they could rely on as well. You're allocating resources, $10 million a year plus, to a position that you don't really need to upgrade. Like, great, you're getting the luxury car. You're basically upgrading from, I don't know, like a Ford Explorer to a Mercedes or a Cadillac Escalade, right? And that's cool, but you're also, you know, your shack in the back is falling apart. You need to fix, and that's their defense. So my problem is that they're spending money on position groups that they don't really need to spend money on. I watched that Bucs game in the playoffs when they lost to the Buccaneers. Their problem was their secondary. They were getting torched by the Bucs wide receivers and Baker Mayfield. I would rather see them spend the money and improving that defense, which is what let them down the back half of the season, versus buying luxury items like Saquon Barkley at, you know, what is it, like 12 point something million a year? That's my issue. Like, do I think it's fun? It'll make that offense very exciting. Yes. Like, I'm not saying that it's not going to improve the offense, but my counterpoint is that you're spending resources in a position that you don't need to at this point.
I get what you're saying, but there's not a, I won't say shutdown corner. You're not going to find a shutdown corner on the free agency market like that, but you're not going to find a headliner that you need to help out on the secondary part of things. What you do need to do is you need to try to mold your existing secondary to be better and hope that they can expand, I would say, like, their abilities. But Jeff Okuda, I mentioned that earlier in the show. He was a defensive back that was on the free agency list. He's not somebody that's going to change the team, right? And that was probably one of the better headlined defensive backs that were out there. I know that there was a few others that moved that were like slot corners. Those aren't guys that are going to help you. So, like, if you're saying that you need to improve the defense, you weren't going to do it in free agency. Maybe you find a corner in the first or second round because they're going to be drafting a little bit later with them being a division winner last year. Excuse me, with them being a playoff contender. You find a younger, I would say, younger, cheaper option versus spending on a third tier corner.
Well, I'm not even saying just necessarily get a cornerback. Go out and get yourself an okay cornerback. Maybe spend the money on defensive line, right? So your pass rush is more effective and you don't have to have your cornerbacks on an island longer. That's all I'm saying. Just spend the money on the defensive side because that's where they really got torched in the second half of the season.
I understand that. The thing is, we say this when it comes to trades, you need two to tango. You need there to be positions out there. Wilkinson was one of the only headliner name linemen. No, sorry, that's an offensive lineman too. Yeah, he was moved. I know they lost Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox just retired, so like that's a huge hit. But they also drafted, you know, the lineman out of Georgia last year, which I'm sure if he's able to get back to playing the way that we all think he's able to play, like they'll be fine on the defensive line. I think they just had a bad season or bad second half of the season. It wasn't even like a full season, it was just a bad second half.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the list of edge rushers that look like they would be in that price range. Not a ton of great options. They got Bryce Huff. So they did add an edge rusher, Bryce Huff. So I don't know. If they have the extra money to spend, good for them. I'm not like familiar with their cap situation. So if it didn't bother them at all, go for it. But I'm just wanting to say, like, you need to address that defense first and foremost. Just a couple of running back names that just made me sad because there was a couple signings that just made me sad. Austin Eckler going to the Commanders just made me sad.
Yeah, so much for fantasy value for him. That's tough.
He was just such
a goat for a fantasy football points, and now he's going to be probably a round two or three pick for people.
He was just so much fun to watch in L.A. and 2 years, you know, $11 million, and the Commanders are going to be bad. So Tony Pollard, I thought like the Dallas thing was going well for him. You know, he looked like he was going to carve out a star role for him previous to last year, but it just didn't happen. And goes to Tennessee again. It's just a place where I don't expect to see much out of Tennessee. You know, I think they're going to run him to the ground and it's not going to end well. So those are just some names just made me sad because it's just guys who had a very prestigious name last year who are going to positions that just don't feel like they're going to pan out well for them long term.
It's just the spot where we'll say that their career dies, but essentially we're going to forget about an Austin Eckler and we're going to 100% forget about, you know, Tony Pollard playing for the Titans buried in the, you know, the 1 o'clock window when everybody's getting back, you know, from the grocery store. Like nobody's going to be really watching those Titans games.
Yeah. The Eckler thing kind of gets me confused too, because I still thought of him as a productive, good running back. You know, he's a big name, I guess. You know, he's getting a little under $6 million a year. I would have thought he would have demanded a higher price tag. And then the other sad one is just Josh Jacobs going to the Packers. Not not sad for Josh Jacobs. Good for him getting the bag, 4 years, 48 million. But just sad for AJ Dillon. And was that their starting running back?
Yeah, AJ Dillon was. Well, it was Aaron Jones.
I meant Aaron Jones. Thank you. He got cut after that.
They legit were like, "Hey, well, we're going to bring in Josh Jacobs, a younger version of you." So, bye. So they cut him. AJ Dillon still, you know, Quadzilla. He's still there. They'll run a two-man game in the backfield. And just to touch on the Eckler thing, he did what he could, but I think because of his injury at the beginning of the season, I think that put a damper on him re-signing. Him missing, like, I think it was 4 out of 5 games to start the season was tough. And then not to say that you can rely on a Joshua Kelly, but we all know once you get hurt at the running back position, your team is going to look elsewhere. And the person that was against the grain with fighting for that was a Saquon Barkley, where he was like, "Look, I tore my ACL, but I'm going to come back and be better." Austin Eckler came back and he wasn't really the same. And I know it was the same, you know, same season, but I think that hurt his free agency numbers this year.
Yeah, Kelly was bad. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to fill it in with a draft pick this year.
Go younger. Well, they had the Spiller, Isaiah Spiller. He was their rookie running back last year. Not the most recent season, the season prior to that, 2022, 2023. He was the guy that they drafted pretty high, actually. I would imagine he starts to get some. Yeah, he was a round 4 pick for a running back out of Texas A&M, and that's high for a running back if you're not gonna, you know, just have him be a spill guy.
I just remembered before the show I was thinking about why Patriots fans are obnoxious, and I remember the quote now, and I'll get to it in a second. Okay.
Oh boy, here we go.
So wide receivers, not super exciting in my opinion, just because there's a lot of guys who re-sign, which shows you the value of wide receivers. Mike Pittman Jr., 3 years, 70, re-signing with the Colts. Mike Evans re-signing with the Bucks, 2 years, 41, not bad. Not a lot of other big names out there. Marquise Brown, Calvin Ridley still unsigned. The one big story from the wide receiver week is T. Higgins, and this brings me back to my comment a second ago. Patriots fans in a group chat, I'd be okay trading for T. Higgins for like a second and a fifth. Do you think we could do that? Get the fuck out of here. T. Higgins, are you serious?
That is incredible. Again, it's you devalue somebody to make it seem like it's okay. This man is a wide receiver one. He is legit a wide receiver one. They just happen to have Ja'Marr Chase on the same team as him. And if you think you're going to get a wide receiver one for a second round pick, you're on another level. Like there are people that throw out 7 first round picks for a Russell Wilson. Just remember that.
Yeah, so the T. Higgins thing is interesting. They've gave him the franchise tag, the Bengals, that is, and he asked for a trade out for that. And I understand his frustration. He's been awesome for them. He's obviously anywhere else, he's a wide receiver one, except for with the Bengals, because opposite of him is probably him and Justin Jefferson, one or two best wide receivers in the league. How do you see this ending? Do you think that they will give in and satisfy the trade demand? And if so, what would be the most likely scenario for that?
I don't see them trading him this year. I see him holding out. He's on the tag. I see him getting to week 10 when he has to report, so he gets his money. He plays out, and then they lose him in free agency.
There's no way. They can just let him walk.
It's not so much about letting him walk, but teams aren't. What team is going to trade for him right now?
A team that wants to win.
Well, I understand that, but at the free agency by day 3 is essentially done, right? Like people have their money spent. Once the legal tampering period like is over, which once it starts for you know the actually signed people, which was yesterday, money spent. And I know the cap for the NFL is fake. Like you can find ways to finagle money and whatnot, but like you're not just signing him. He's on the tag, meaning you have to give up draft compensation to get him, and then you have to extend him. So like you're not just paying for this season. You're trading the Bengals a draft pick, which is I think a one first round compensation pick anyway. So there goes your guys. Trades your rumors right there. He's on the tag, which means you have to give up a first rounder for him, and then you have to extend him. What team can do that right now? Like if they could, I'm pretty sure they would have.
I don't know the cap ramifications of every team. I would just ask you this. Do you know when And the answer is probably no. I'm trying to look it up now on the fly, and I'm having no luck. A.J. Brown. This reminds me of the A.J. Brown situation where A.J. Brown was traded to the Eagles. He got a first-round pick, number 18, and it was probably like a fourth-round pick, pick 101. That's probably like a likely comp for the T. Higgins situation.
Yep.
I'm trying to figure out when that trade occurred because that type of situation makes sense to me as far as a very similar situation happening in the league.
I could have sworn A.J. Brown got traded in the middle of the season.
No, he was. I think he was before the season.
Okay.
I'm looking. I'm seeing April 28th, 2022 is the ESPN story. So he got traded in April. So you saying that you don't see this happening because free agency has already occurred. We've seen before a star player get traded in A.J. Brown, you know, after the draft, after free agency, and re-signing for 4 years, $100 million. I could see a similar situation with T. Higgins, and it's not impossible.
Are you sure he got traded in the offseason? Because I'm showing October, which is middle of the season.
Man, I don't know. It's hard to do this all on the fly. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're good. I think that's the reason why it like moved the needle as much as it did, because I think it happened mid-season where similar situation. He's on the tag. They can't come to an agreement, and they just get rid of him mid-season, which is fine, but like there's draft compensation that's involved with that.
I just think if you're the Bengals, it's incredible.
You gotta bring him back. You gotta find a way to bring him back.
Well, I was gonna say I don't know if you can make that happen just because the financials. Joe Burrow, I think he just resigned his contract's bananas, and you're going to have to give Ja'Marr Chase the biggest wide receiver contract of all time. That's just facts, man. Whatever the number is, whatever the biggest contract is today or the day he wants to resign, he's going
to
say,
just add more just, to it, baby.
That's the starting point of negotiations. That's where we're starting. I don't know how you pay those three guys and fill out a roster. And we know we've talked last week about the NFL report cards. We know the cheapest organization in football is the Cincinnati Bengals. They don't like to spend money. I don't know if there's like luxury tax in NFL football. I'm not that versed in the NFL salary cap. But if there is luxury tax and you have to pay more for increasing salary, you know goddamn well the Bengals aren't going to pay it. So I don't think it's a situation where they feel like they can actually pay the man, even though he's probably worth it.
Yeah, that's the tough part is not. I don't think that it's going to change like their offense incredible like substantially. We'll say that, you know, you still have Ja'Marr, you still have decent, you know, running back play. I know they got rid of Mixon, but like they'll still fill in where they need to. And who's the other receiver? That's Tyler Boyd's still there.
I think he's a free agent actually.
Okay, well I think you still have the connection between Joe and Ja'Marr, which helps no matter who you have as a secondary wide receiver, where you could go out there, maybe they go out there and they fill in a spot. And there's a deep wide receiver class. So like, who's to say they don't go out there and find a Keon Coleman, who is very similar to a T. Higgins, 6'4", 210, right? They don't take a flyer on him late in the draft. And they're like, well, it's your game now. If you want to sign with us, here's the number. And now you got three wide receivers that are deadly or deuces, right? So I can see them going that route, going wide receiver first round this draft.
I can also see the Patriots offering them a ham sandwich and a sixth round pick and them taking it.
It's a box of cookies. We want Higgins.
Oh, man. I don't know what other position interests you. Just tight end, everyone re-signed. So there's really nothing exciting there.
No, I think we hit on all of them, honestly. QB, wide receiver, running back. It's not really all that sexy to talk about offensive and defensive linemen. Big signing, obviously, that we know was Chris Jones. We didn't really get to talk about that one.
Yeah, 5 years, $158 million. Get that bag, sir.
Yeah, definitely got the money. Not only the money, I think this is incredible. We're seeing, they're not just a dynasty, but we're seeing them flirt with becoming better, dare I say, than the New England Patriots. The reason being is Mahomes at this point of his career is better than what Tom Brady was at his point of his career back then. They won three Super Bowls, the first three Super Bowls based off of defense, controlling the game, and the run game. They're going out there, the Chiefs are going out there, and they're winning games, Super Bowls, because of Patrick Mahomes. And getting a Chris Jones, he's just extending the window to wreak havoc in the playoffs for quarterbacks that he goes against.
I like the Chris Jones story just because they play hardball with him last year, and he did the right thing by the team. I don't totally agree with the move, but he said, all right, I'll come back. And they're like, all right, prove it. If it works out well, then we'll pay you. He came back, was phenomenal, was one of the biggest reasons besides Patrick Mahomes that they won the Super Bowl, and they followed through with the word, man. That's a nice contract. I don't know what the guarantees on those are, but hopefully he got that thing guaranteed. The only other thing I wanted to mention that I thought was interesting is you mentioned Christian Wilkins. He was a very, very good player for the Dolphins, defensive tackle. Dolphins got gutted free agency. You can talk about that in a second, but I like the signing for the Raiders. So they gave him 4 years, $110 million. I just like what the Raiders are doing as far as their defensive line's concerned. The Raiders were the biggest reason why I kept picking against the Chiefs this year in the playoffs, because I saw the way the Raiders' defensive line handled the Chiefs and made them look like the Patriots.
No. It wasn't the entire Vegas Raiders defensive line.
It was Max Crosby.
Let's just get it straight. It was Max fucking Crosby causing havoc in the backfield. So, yes, that one-man wrecking crew, yes. One of the best defensive linemen in the league, is the reason why that game was like that.
My overall point is that they have already a pass rush and a defensive line. You know, and that line can stop the run as well. That can stop the best team in football. And they just added a phenomenal player in Christian Wilkins to that line. So do I think the Vegas is a legitimate team? No. You know, they still have a hell of a lot of issues on the offensive side of the ball. But that defense is going to be a pain in the ass to play against on Sunday.
Yeah, I think they're going the route of, look, we can't do much about it when it comes to a quarterback. We tried to with Jimmy Garoppolo, and we're not going to be able to compete with finding a quarterback that's going to be as good as a Patrick Mahomes. So what's the next best thing? Let's try to cause havoc on the defensive side. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. We all know Antonio Pierce is a defensive player, right? He's a defensive-minded head coach because he plays defense. Did I say that right?
No, I'm just thinking...
I'm usually bad with names. I was like, that I thought he was the head coach, and your face made me feel like I said the wrong name.
No. I'm sorry. For those listening on podcast, he mentioned the name. I was making a weird face, and I was just thinking, who the fuck is the Vegas Raiders quarterback? And it was Aiden O'Connell. And I'm like, what are they doing? And my only thought is like, and then my thought was, light bulb went off. What if they're sneaky at Justin Fields' team?
Ooh. I mean, they do got, you know, really good wide receiver.
And they're just,
they know they discovered the running back, though, so we'll see about that.
And they're obviously willing to spend money because they spent $25 million a year on a defensive tackle. So, like, why not? They're not in a position to draft a quarterback.
If you got a way to put some money on where Justin Fields lands. You
definitely
can
on DraftKings.
You
definitely can on DraftKings.
Holy crap. I think I could see Justin Fields wearing the silver and black.
That'd be
dope. We know about, you know, Al Davis, RIP.
Love speed, baby.
Son, it's all not only speed, but just win, baby, win. Like, it don't matter how you do it, just as long as it looks flashy. Holy crap. I think we might have just unveiled a sleeper for out of nowhere, just like we all thought Peyton was going to San Francisco, right? Right? No. We all thought Brady was going to San Francisco. He's going there. He's going to the Bucks? You sound the alarm?
Sound the alarm? No, I don't think I had the alarm.
You got shaving
anymore.
Cream in your hand?
No, I was just saying this thought was brought to you by Grandma Nay.
I could only see the cap. I thought you had like shaving cream.
No, yeah, I'm going to shave live on the podcast. Yeah, no, that's why I just got super distracted by that thought in my own head during the show when I had to share it with you. So it was a good one, though.
Wow. I actually really, really like that thought. Justin Fields to the Raiders.
Let's make it happen. Let's talk to Al. Or what's his son, Mark Davis?
Mark, yep. Definitely can't talk to Al, unfortunately.
The first thing I'll tell Mark Davis is to trade for Justin Fields. The second thing I'll tell Mark Davis is to get a goddamn regular haircut, please.
Cut his hair, baby. Cut his hair.
Just cut, baby. Just cut. I have nothing else on the NFL stuff. Are you good on this topic?
Let's do some Frizz 5 stuff.
Oh, I forgot we had Frizz 5. Holy shit. Let's go.
prepare yourselves for the greatest and most unique segment in podcast history. Let's rank some stuff with D. It's time for Frizz's Five.
Back at it again, back like we never left. We back up in this bitch like an unborn baby. What's good?
Wow. Another Frizz's Five. I'm going to be honest. I inspired this one. I sent this to Dean. He's like, yep, let's go. So I don't know if you want to do your five first or my five. It's up to you.
I mean, you came up with it. We can save the clap and the cheers for another day for me. I want to see your five, okay. And then I'll rebuttal with
so
mine.
So our top five list.
This is going on the X too, by the way. So I want to see who's got the put the votes to for those that are listening. Me. Jump on Twitter/X.
All right,
because we're gonna put both lists online and see who's got the better one.
Okay, so the lists today that we're comparing are it's a tough one to kind of articulate, but it's top five drinks as a kid during summer that when you were running outside, getting hot and sweaty, playing some basketball in the yard, whatever. When you need a drink, you're going grabbing this drink ASAP. It's refreshing as hell. I like the applause. I'm going to be honest with you. I had a really strong four. The fifth one I kind of struggled on. So I kind of cheated a little bit on the fifth one.
Oh, my. I didn't use Google for anything.
No, I didn't Google.
I already knew.
Okay. I cheated because it wasn't not so much a 90s drink, right? There is like an equivalence in the 90s, but this is my go-to like high school drink or like middle school drink and even college. There was nothing better for me, man. I'm playing a game, you know, 2 hours of basketball. I'm sweating. I'm like dying. I'm taking my ass down to Cumberland Farms. I'm grabbing that 99-cent plastic cup and getting some motherfucking Chill Zone. Let's go. Where's my fucking applause? You agree?
So I prematurely celebrated because my five involves a drink from companies, well, but it's not a Chill Zone.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll give you that. That's not a bad one, though. I'm not a frozen drink person I don't know if it's just the way that I drink them, but like they always give me brain freezes. So like from a young age, I've stayed away from ices, Chill Zones, all of that, just because I literally every time I drink one, it like hurts, and I'm like, I'm good. That doesn't satisfy me.
And when you're doing the Chill Zone, if you're a real one, you got to layer that motherfucker. A little bit of blue,
multiple flavors,
a little
yep.
bit of red, a little bit of yellow. You got to do it, man. If you don't like do it, you're fed.
It's not a bad choice. Just again, wouldn't be mine.
Number four, going back to the kids drinks. You remember that little Coke glass Coca-Cola looking like bottle with plastic with a plastic twist off top? You know what I'm talking about? Those Kool-Aid bursts. It's hard to describe. It's like...
I know what you're talking about. Yes, yeah. It had like a U-shaped cap.
Yes, you twist it off. I would just give yep. it the bite. Number four. I didn't feel the best about that one. I like my number three through one the best. Number three, childhood favorite, lunchbox, going to camp after game of tag, whatever outside. Grab the pouch, rip the straw off the back, punch that sucker through. Capri Sun, baby.
I like that. Definitely a great choice. Classic, obviously. It's funny that these aren't really just related to the 90s. It's just what we had as a kid.
I think a lot of them are still.
90s, I was like, oh, I don't know if it's just 90s, but like, go ahead.
Are we overlapping anywhere on this list so far?
I'm not going to tell you mine. All right. I'm not going to add all.
My last two I love. Okay. This was my go-to fruit juice drink when I was a kid growing up from the age of 5 to 34 now. Grab them. Got to grab them. Don't like the red ones. Give me that blue. Give me that orange. Give me that purple. That little barrel looking bottle with the metal top. And you just give it a little bite in the top. Pop it open. Got yourself a little hug. Little hug. The barrel drinks. Number two.
The barrel drinks. Good. Yes. Yes. Great choice. Great choice with that one.
I hope that's on your list. I am very proud of my number one. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of hate from you, from the fans, from everyone. But you know what? It's not your goddamn list. It's my top five list. So number one. The number one most refreshing drink After running around outside as a kid, even as a goddamn adult, the most refreshing drink in the world when you're thirsty, you grab that motherfucking hose, you turn that goddamn faucet, it's the most refreshing cold water you'll ever have in your goddamn life.
Wow. Good job. Good choice. I won't even say classic, just the right choice.
The right choice.
Having you know, the water hose water there. Not a bad list. I like it.
I don't understand. Like, I will go to my kitchen. Like, I'll fill up my bottle with ice, water. I'll let the ice sit there for 5-10 minutes. It is not as cold and refreshing as that water straight from the hose. You know what the best part of the hose is? It's not just the drinking the water of the hose. It's the... And that's, if you're listening on podcasts, I just lifted the hose up and just give myself a little splash in the face to cool down. It's the best.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, not a bad list. Your order was all over the place with it, which is perfectly fine. I also think the names that you had was all over the place. So let me go ahead and flip this back and reverse it better for you. So right. Number five, going from bottom to the top. For me, number five, you called it, but you named it wrong. It's called a motherfucking Kool-Aid jammer.
So that's here's the thing.
A plastic bottle, you twist it, you throw it back.
It's not. I sat with my wife and I looked it up. I will Google as you go through this what a Kool-Aid burst is.
Here's another one that you got wrong. You called it the barrel drink. Number four, it's a teeny.
Teeny weenies. Yeah, I know about the teeny. I said it's actually called the little hugs.
Yeah, little hugs, teenies. Yes. So that would be number four. Doesn't matter the
choice. Wait, I need to slow us down for 1 second because I need to show how wrong you are. Google search a Kool-Aid burst. What is that? Oh, is that the drink I absolutely described?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What's the ones on the right? Kool-Aid jammers.
Which right?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
They're all whatever. The bottles say Kool-Aid burst on it. It's the exact thing we're talking about. Can you take the L? Can you take how about this? I will Google search, and this is terrible for a podcast. I will Google search Kool-Aid jammers.
Looks more like a Capri Sun.
That is more like a Capri Sun. You are wrong, sir. Can you just eat
that?
All right,
You got me. But yes, it was that drink. That is the one that I would say is definitely deserves to be in the top five.
And little hugs is this exact thing.
Teenies. Yep, teenies.
But I will, to be fair with you though, if I'm gonna be real with you, I called it little hugs because I looked it up, but I know it personally as teenies.
Yes, thank you. And you called it a little barrel drink.
Yeah, you knew what I was talking about.
I know what you meant. But number three, I know it was your number one, so I'm glad that you at least had it. It's definitely hose water. Absolutely.
Refreshing as fuck.
Yeah, just because there was, like, obviously when you turn it on, you're just like, I'm just going to keep drinking. Just keep drinking until you're full and you're like, I can't play sports anymore. Drink too much water. For me, number two, I thought you were going this route. You could tell the difference between somebody that grew up in the ghetto, somebody that grew up in an area where the Cumbies was actually really nice, not compared to where mine was. But we went there. If we went to Cumbies, it was 99 cents. It was just a gallon of sugar. It was called Arctic Splash.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
I'm going to have to Google
literally
that shit.
Orange, blue, green, whatever you drank, whatever you wanted, when you drank it, your shit turned that color. So like if you drank blue, you know your shit blue. It was terrible for you, obviously, but it was 99 cents. It was just water and blue sugar. That's all it was. So us broke people, we definitely, you know, chilled out, Cumberland Farms, pulling up some Arctic Splash.
Can I share?
Go ahead.
I just want to. Is this the Arctic?
With the group.
Is this the Arctic Splash right here?
Yeah.
Is it coming
looks
a
like
carton?
It's just in a milk bottle or milk carton. Yeah, well, that's the sugar for it, yes, but that's it.
I will say, this is outside looking in. Can I just mention this real quick that needs some love? One of my favorite drinks still to this day, it's not like a drink I drank as a kid for refreshment, but it's one of the best 99 cents drinks in the world. Arizona iced tea cans, 99 cent delish. You're out on that?
No, I didn't really care for Arizona iced teas. I thought you were going to go Yoo-Hoo's. Yoo-Hoo's are great, but that's not really a refreshing drink. I just love that it's like chocolate water. It's not really chocolate milk. But number one for me, I don't need the drum roll. Okay. Again, I think the order that you had was a little off for me. I'm going Capri Sun as number one. Capri Sun at the top, bro. Like, I think that's the best drink because it pisses you off that it goes quickly. Like, you tear off the plastic, you rip the straw out, puncture that sucker, and you're like, let me get a sip of this. And then, like, after like 5 seconds, you're like, crap,
It's gone.
It's all gone. So I got to get another one. But because it's such a short and sweet style of a drink, it's like that's easily number one. It gave you superpowers. The commercial literally turned like the silver shimmer dude into a superhero. Like he would just be slithering all over the place because he drank a Capri Sun.
And you always, when you do the Capri Sun, when you have to suck it bone dry, like you can see the outline of the straw perfectly because you're like, God damn, I need more. I need more. That's, I need a fix.
I think the Capri Sun is the reason why I chew on straws because that's a good call. Chew on that motherfucker after you were done drinking it.
That's a good call. Good top fives. So we overlapped on four out of the five. And the one we didn't agree on were both Cumberland Farms exclusives.
Yep. So not a bad list. Good list. Put that online. Trust me. I know my list is better, but yes, definitely put that online.
I'm looking to see what the people have to say. Let's get our closing takes and go and get on out of here.
The show is coming to an end. But first, it's time to get to anything we've missed. It's closing time. One segment, two takes.
Closing takes. It's our opportunity to kind of cover anything in the sports or pop culture world that we haven't got a chance to, cover during our hour-long podcast so far. I got two stories. The reason why I have two is because I had one for the beginning of the show and I completely forgot about it. I blame the Grand Marnier. The first one, it's not a happy story. You know how I roll. Here's a story from Kansas City, Missouri, Fox 4. The medical director at Grossman Burn Center at Research Medical Center says 70% of the patients referred for frostbite injuries suffered during the bitter cold in January are now being advised to schedule amputations. 70% of the people with frostbite amputation. Here's the kicker. The majority of them are Chiefs fans who attended the team's frigid playoff game. So you have a bunch of people who went to that Chiefs-Dolphins game where the wind chill was negative 26 and 70% of the people who had frostbite from that game lost your leg, lost your hand, lost your fingers, whatever. Guys, it ain't that cool to have your big old belly out to get on the TV. Bundle the fuck up. What are y'all doing?
Yeah, I read about that and also heard about it on the tube where that's tough, right? Like that's they won. You know, it would have been worse if the Chiefs lost, but at least they got the dub. But no, I'm not going out there. That's a game where, I know I might have paid for my season tickets, but I'm going to go ahead and watch this one on TV. I'm not going to show up negative 30 degree weather. And as you just said, especially those people that are on the lower level because they want to get the fans on TV out there with like no shirts and whatnot. Like that's not cool. That's actually stupid. But, to each their own. And they'll be remembered, when somebody says, how'd you lose a finger? It's like, I went to the Chiefs game. I'm like, oh, did you like get it caught on something? No, it was just cold out.
It's just cold out. I went to one game that was extremely cold once. I went to the Patriots versus Broncos game when Tim Tebow was in the playoffs versus the Patriots. I went to that game. I think it was 5 degrees at kickoff with a wind chill of like negative 10. And I shit you not, we brought a 30 rack of beer. Couldn't drink them. They all froze. That's how fucking cold it was. I would not want to be out there at negative 26. My second story, I'll be really quick. I thought this was the funniest story of the week. I'm going to Italia, Serie A football. Lecce, they fired their manager, Roberto De Aversa, after he headbutted an opposing player at the end of their loss to Hellas Verona. My man got pissed off and headbutted the shit out of an opposing player and got fired. How are you going to get fired on your day off?
Was that Zinedine Zidane who did that in the World Cup?
The World Cup like and cost France the championship to Italy. Good callback, D. What a call.
Yeah, I remember that was when I actually like was deeply invested in soccer or football because of FIFA. Like I played FIFA religiously back in like college and I would know a lot of names, so like it was a lot easier for me to follow, the World Cup. Be like, oh, let's watch this. I was a big England guy, so I know a couple of people that were France, a couple of people that were Italy. So that name sticks out wholeheartedly because of what he did, where he legit was, ha! Like, he just turned and just legit wound up. How you wind up a headbutt, I have no idea. But, like, he wound up and, pow, got the dude right in his chest. A little bit of a flop.
A little bit of a flop, I was going to say.
You still can't headbutt somebody in the middle of a game. No matter what sport it is, you can't even do that in UFC. You can't just throw a headbutt at somebody in a sport that involves fighting.
The crazy thing about that game is they lost Zidane. He got a red card, so I think France had to play a man down. And that game still went to PKs. Like, France played with a man down and held off Italy the whole time to get to PKs. Crazy. I love the World Cup. I love the craziness of international soccer. D, what do you got for me?
So I got one that, you know, we've been talking up this boy for a while. You said that he's the face of the league and he's, you know, potentially going to be the best player in the history of basketball, blah, 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 blah. Victor Wembanyama. I'm not even going to give him a shout. What I am going to give a shout, who I'm going to give a shout to, is Trace motherfucking Jackson. So if you haven't heard.
Oh, hater alert.
The 12th man on the Golden State Warriors. It's not about hate. I'm not hating on Wemby for this. What I am going to say, he's the first person that I can remember, I haven't seen anything else, that tested Wemby, went up and succeeded. John Morant tried. Somebody else tried. But Chase Jackson, if you guys didn't see it, Golden State, you know, I don't think he's a rookie, but Golden State guard, went up and just absolutely yammed on Victor Wembanyama. End of the game, fourth quarter. There's less than 2 minutes left, so it was literally rollout time. But it was cool. It was just one of those, like, you don't expect. I think the announcer was like, he took down the entire country of France. Like, just like an unbelievable call. But, like, it was just a cool moment. You know, if you guys get a chance to see, I'm not shitting on Wembanyama. I think he's absolutely incredible. But it was one of those things where, like, damn, if of all people, like, we got all these dunkers in the league, Zion, we got Ja when he's healthy. And Trace Jackson is the first, Trace Jackson Davis is the first one to dunk on Wemby. Like, come on, man. That couldn't have been like a higher profile name so that loop is on, you know, ESPN every single day. They played it once and they were like, yeah, okay, we don't really know who this guy is, so we can't give him too much airtime.
Your grievance is that it's not a bigger player so we can hate on Wemby more. I see.
It's not even hate. I just think it would be great because somebody did it. That motherfucker's good on defense. Let him get dunked on. Yao Ming was great on defense, but he got dunked on by everybody because he tried to block everybody. And, you know, I'll take somebody that is trying to block someone versus giving them an open dunk.
And Yao's slow as shit. He ain't catching up on nothing.
Also true.
All right. Good show, D. I thought we were very, very informative, fun, good time. We just uncovered the Justin Fields destination as well, which is really cool. So get us out of here, D.
I'll try to, man. I definitely will hit up DraftKings and FanDuel, which is now legal in North Carolina for those that are listening to us here live. But while you're listening to us and watching us, please make sure you hit us up on all of our socials. If you can, hit us up on Facebook. You can find us on the X. One day you will find us on maybe Instagram or TikTok. But we do have a website and it's at the bottom, prisonthegrizz.com. As the Grizz says, when we're, you know, starting up the show, like, comment, subscribe. It definitely helps the stream get bigger and broader. We got some big shoulders. Would it be cool if you guys made it even bigger? More importantly, when we're heading towards the summer, especially when it's starting to get nice out, daylight savings is a bitch. My kids wake up and it's dark. They go to bed and it's light out. Can't stand it. But more importantly, like I always like to say, take care of y'all mentals. Please make sure y'all take care of y'all physicals. Take care of y'all chicken. Take care of y'all children. And we'll catch y'all on the rebound.
Peace.